Good evening and welcome to the August 25th, 2010 Board of Directors meeting of the Oceano Community Services District. Roll call, please.
Vice President Dean. Director Hill.
Here.
Director Angelo.
Here.
Director Lucy.
Here.
President Dahl.
Here. Okay, if you'd all please rise and join me in the flag salute. Ready?
Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, this takes us to item number three, which is public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest to the board. Any items that are part of the agenda, you have to be public comment for those at that time.
Hi, Nina Grabiel, Oceano. And I just want to let the board and the community know that I'm going to be running for the Lucia Mar Unified School District Board of Directors position, Area 3. We'll be representing Oceano on the board if I win. And I'm just looking forward to doing a good job for the people. I think Oceano deserves it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else like to address the public or address the board?
Good evening. I'm Larry Bross. I have the paper, Oceano Makes the News. Oceano, we pay for television, so we might as well use it. Oceano CSD seeks to shed light on murky money. Murky money. Probe aims to resolve mysteries surrounding five accounts. Few reportedly knew about. This goes back over 20 years, and everybody, you know, nobody knew what was going on. So many managers. We finally got one. I've been on vacation for close to 2 months. I've been away from here. I got to get away. Free of this. How are you going to do it? Are you going to sell our water and long-term contracts to our wonderful neighbors? You know, the Oceano is a community without a sovereignty, no sovereignty. Everybody, it's like a third world area where people stake out areas in Oceano, you know. And who are we? We have all the promise. We've got the beach, but we don't have the beach. State has the beach. We once had the beach. We got the airport, but we don't have the airport, you know. But I think right now we're down to where we have to be. We're starting from scratch, and you know the future is ours. The future is ours, you know. I got kids, I got grandkids, like everybody else. That's where I was, by the way, and you know I want them to have a future here. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Yeah, thank you. Anyone else like to address the board at this time? Okay, hearing none, brings us to item number four, board member items for comment. Director Hill, we'll start with you.
None right now.
Director Angelo?
Not at this time.
Director Lucy?
No, not at this time.
Okay, moves us on to item number five. 5A is review and approval of minutes from July 14th, 2010. Any comments, corrections?
I apologize for only being able to get to these minutes to review last night. Item, see, on page 3 of the July 14, the item on the top, item 8D, is a vote on a fee letter for one of the Avocado Ranch properties, and I believe that President Dahl voted no on that.
Can you check the record and bring it back?
I'd like to make sure that that's correct. appears to be correct on the other two similar items. Then on, do you want to do August 11th also? Or
no,
just
let's,
this
we're
one?
Just announced this one, so let's just do this one. We'll come on, come back, see if anybody else has any comments on this. Anyone else, any comments, corrections on July 14th? Mm-hmm. Any public comment on the...
On. On the budget, I may be incorrect here, but I believe that the A's were, President Dahl did say yes on that, and Pamela Dean said no. I may be. And then there were just some typo errors on number 12. A. Thank you.
Okay, any other public comment on the July 14th minutes? Okay, unless there's any objection, can you, we'll just have staff correct them and bring them back to the next meeting.
Is staff going to correct Director Dean's recommendations on E?
Just can you have a tape that you can review to see what exactly happened? So just have them review the tape and find out what was on the tape and correct them accordingly.
Okay.
That's all right.
That's what I wanted to know the process. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So the July 14th minutes will be brought back at the next meeting. This takes us on to the August 11th minutes. Any comments, corrections here?
On the August 11th minutes, on item number 8, let's see. Consideration of the warrants. On the first one, the vote was 4-0 with one recused. The text currently says one abstaining, and I believe Director Dean was recused on that rather than abstained. And then continuing on with that item, it says the following motion was adopted, approval of the warrants. Probably should say remaining warrants, because the first one was taken separately, which was the one that Director Dean was recused on. And I apologize for only getting to read those last night, so my comments are a little bit late.
Okay, anyone else? Any public comment on these minutes?
So again, I...
Do you want that noted in the minutes?
Yes, please.
Okay. Do you have that correction as well?
Yes.
Okay. We do appreciate AGP coming in on short notice under those circumstances.
Okay. Anyone else on this item? Okay. I'll entertain a motion. Or do you want to brought back with a correction?
This item on the warrants where Director Dean was recused rather than abstaining, that may be significant enough that it should be properly noted.
Okay. So correct these and bring them back. Next meeting also. Okay, let's move this on to item number 6. Okay. This is worded a little bit different than normally we have. You want to talk
item
through this?
Six, are the cash disbursements I have the vouchers here in front of me. Since we prepared them, it's been brought to my attention that we know that one, you know, is there's been an error. So I would ask the board's direction, you know, we can correct the error and issue a new check, or we can, it's a person that I'm sure that we will have no difficulty. We can just pay the bill and, you know, they'll credit our account for the balance. The one that's been brought to our attention that was an error is our legal counsel's bill, and that's only because we didn't meet in the end of July, so therefore we received a bill and it had some stuff that
June 30th?
If you don't mind, I'll have, because they brought it to our attention that if we approve as presented, there'll be an overpayment, so let them.
In early July, we submitted our June 30th invoice. In the ordinary course of events, it would have been paid at the second meeting in July, but the second meeting in July was canceled. Around August 1st or 2nd, we submitted our July invoice, which had the previous balance from June on it, plus the July billing. So it was whatever the number is, $9,000 or so. A week or so later, the board approved the warrant to pay the June invoice. And so that. The June 30th invoice, correct. And so when the board got around to looking and paying invoices again, it had the July invoice, and that invoice had both June and July on it. So it effectively would be double paying.
Right. Okay, I understand that. Now, since legal, since that line item has been reduced by 50%, it's, the line item is only for 80% service to begin with, right, in the contract?
I don't understand what you're talking about.
Okay.
The
board took action that the line item for legal services would be reduced by 50%.
Not that I'm aware of.
That's why you attend one meeting a month versus two meetings a month?
In order to try and facilitate staying within the 20 hours a month budget, we only come to one meeting a month. But there, I don't believe a percentage was ever attached to it.
Okay, so the bottom line doesn't change then. You may have cut back your services, but we're still paying the same amount.
You pay based upon the amount of services requested and performed on behalf of the district. The first 20 hours are at a preferential lower rate. Any hours over the 20 hours are at a higher rate.
Okay. And so the 20 hours at the preferential rate comes to about $4,200.
I think there was about
$280 a month or something like that.
Well, it depends very much upon what we're asked to work on in a given month. In the up until about 7 or 8 months ago, I think it was either shortly before or shortly after General Manager Montemurro appeared, a request was made as to whether we could segregate out our bills so that we would bill to water, sewer, general administration,
so that
you could charge back. And so since that time, we've established, I believe it's five different billing accounts that we allocate everything to, and then there's a summary billing that sits on top of it that shows the amount billed.
Okay, so maybe you just answered my question, because it like on the sewer, like, well, the water enterprise, it comes out to be about $800 every pay section.
I don't think that's accurate.
Oh, I'm just going by your statements. Let me finish my question.
Okay.
Is that, do you have a set amount that you apply to each of these divisions of labor per month, and then if a contract's to be drawn or anything extra, Is it additionally billed, or is it included in the standard?
No. As we perform services, you know, we get a call on
trash. Let's just take trash.
We get a call. Well, actually, trash is a very good example. I don't recall if it was this month or if it was last month. Last month, we were requested to review the new solid waste contract.
Correct.
So we put a fair amount of time into reviewing that, getting some edit changes done, and billing it. And so there was a fairly significant bill that went to that account over maybe the last 60 days. But I'll bet you if you look back over the 8 or 9 months that we've been tendering the bills this way, you will probably find several months in which there was no billing to them. Because what we do is we post the time to the appropriate account, and then it gets allocated out at the hourly rate. And in doing it, we try to bill to the various enterprise funds first, and until the lower cost retainer hours are done, and then we bill. We use the general account as the one that we balance. So if there's a month in which we bill 8 hours to the enterprise accounts, that means we have 12 hours left to apply.
Okay. All right. Anyone else have any questions, comments?
Just a comment that these are finally correctly identified as cash disbursements and checks rather than warrants, which was part of the confusion that we've operated under for some time. That I don't know, I think it goes back to the check numbers not matching the OCSD account numbers that were written on the checks, and that type of confusion. So I'm glad to see us moving forward, calling things by what they are, having the check numbers be check numbers and they match. The tag on the bottom of the check matches the magnetic bank number. So I'm again pleased to see us operating in a correct fashion.
Okay, anyone else? Okay, public comment on the warrants or on the cash disbursements, checks. Okay, bringing it back to the board. Let's see if it's the board would please, let's do the Kirk and Seamus one first, and then maybe we can have that approved with the deduction of the June payment that has been made, pulled out of it. If that would be all right with the board, that would work for everybody. Mm-hmm. Okay, then I'll entertain a motion to that effect.
I'll move that the check for Kirk and Seamus be withdrawn and reissued at the correct amount that shows that the June payment had already been made.
Okay. I'll second that.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries 4-0. And the remaining of the warrants?
Move approval of the remaining warrants as presented. Excuse me, I'll move approval of the remaining checks and payments as presented.
Second.
Okay. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Carries 4-0. Okay, that takes us on to item number 7, number 7A, resolution number 2010-14. General Manager Montemiro, could you please introduce us?
And we have prepared what this resolution is a resolution for conflict of interest. And we have to have a conflict of interest code on record with the county. So I can read the entire piece if you like, or I can just read the highlights. It's been prepared by legal counsel. It's something that we have to do to be in compliance with the county, and I would recommend approval. Basically, it's only gonna, as written and how the county wants it, it will only relate to presently, because of how we've streamlined the operation, only myself and legal counsel will be because the elected officials have different rules and regulations to follow, but the county wants to make sure that the district has a conflict of interest code. So it's before you as resolution 2010-14. It was written by legal counsel, and I recommend approval as presented.
Okay, comments, questions, discussion?
On the attached resolution 2010-14, about the middle of the page, it says it's been many years since the district last amended its code. My recollection is that 2 years ago we last amended the code to adopt the standard state recommended language. Is that not correct?
Well, candidly, I don't know. What this requirement has been around for many, many years, and if there's no amendments to be done, then all you have to do is have the general manager sign the certification, and it goes back to the county, and you're done. When it came up this year, because General Manager Montemurro is new, he asked us to review it and give him some advice. We inquired about trying to locate what was existing, because I know in the past when these letters have come out, I've had conversations with various general managers over time, and generally the response has been, you don't need to do anything, we'll take care of it. And General Manager Montemurro was not able to locate anything that looked like a current conflicts of interest code. So out of an excess of caution, we thought the best thing to do would be to get it done now. We know it's done. I'll have it in our records, and it'll go into the resolution book, and hopefully, at least for the many years into the foreseeable future, you'll know it's done.
Okay, and this is, in fact, the model code, if you will.
Correct. The only two variables were which employees or contractors.
That is required, and that is in this document per the state.
Yes, as Director Hill pointed out a moment ago, those are the two appendixes to the document. One designates the general manager and district legal counsel, whoever it is, as being the covered parties, and the other says that the level of disclosure is the same as is required of the elected officials.
Okay, now if Mr. Hill recalls that 2 years ago that was adopted, would that have been the procedure then to direct the staff to take care of that?
The staff basically, as council mentioned, we're required to adopt a conflict of interest code every 2 years.
Correct, and would that be before the board? That
yes.
Would come before the board as it is now.
If it was adopted, the answer would be yes.
And then after that, what would be the next step of that procedure be to go back to the staff and then have the staff send that in?
All the staff has to do is to certify that one's in place. Initially, when it's first adopted, provide a copy.
If this happened 2 years ago.
I don't recall it, but I'll accept Director Hill's memory.
So now you can't find anything relating to that 2 years ago within the district's records.
I don't have anything in my files other than maybe searching through old meeting minutes to possibly find
reference
something
to the meeting
that would indicate that happened. And the general manager advised me that after searching through his files, he was not able to find it.
All right. I was just, I know there was some question about some charges that were not too long ago regarding a certification expense and another employee spouse expense along with that, which amounted to over $4,000. And therefore, if it wasn't in place, that would have explained why there would have been some confusion over who the district having to pay certain charges that they felt were excessive. Do you follow what I'm talking about?
I don't.
Well, procedure, I guess. Procedure if you have travel, hotel, who pays, you know, what the procedure is when someone does.
About
this, travel. This is, there are two different, they're
completely
separate.
Completely different.
All right, thank you.
Any other public comment on this item? Okay, I bring it back to the board. Any final discussions? Entertain a motion.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve resolution 2010-14 relating to the Community Service District Conflict of Interest Code.
Second.
Okay, motion and second. Roll call vote, please.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes. Carries 4-0. Takes us to item number 7B, resolution number 2010-15.
Is a resolution to forward the charges for weed removal to the county. We're recommending approval of the resolution so the county auditor can collect the charges. This is a resolution before you that is done every year. The resolution reads Oceano Community Service District resolution number 2010-15, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Service District rescinding and restating resolution number 2010-03 and confirming the cost associated with the removal of vegetation on certain properties to be a public nuisance and directing staff to forward the charges to the county auditor for collection. Then it goes on to read all the whereases. It's basically the same one that has been before you every year. That's how staff wrote it. We just wrote last year's. We've included in Exhibit A the actual amounts, and we have the total is $9,600. We had asked earlier if, because this year the cost was going to be more, if the board wanted to change the previous practice as to how much, and there was no recommendation, so we just used the previous. If it was a $200 expenditure, we made the assessment $400 like we've done in the past. They're listed before you. The resolution requires President Dahl's signature, and we'll not if we do it like this in a timely manner. Otherwise, after the county gives you to a certain day to give them the info, then after that, they won't do it.
This is my concern. One is that we're going to send this in on a house that's foreclosed, and the likelihood of us getting weed money back on a house in that's foreclosed is minimal.
It's attached to the property tax.
Yeah, but the house is in foreclosure and the housing market is upside down, so the likelihood of getting that back is nil. So my point was is that if we're paying the county to collect on a property that nobody's going to collect on, in fact everybody's going to take a hit on, it wouldn't make any sense. But that's not the case that's been told to me. Okay, so, and then another thing too is that if we do have properties that families are trying to hold on to, and we're slapping one more bill on without an alternative, you know, $5 a month for the rest of your life, you know, some other alternative versus more burden on their back. I mean, I understand that it's a risk, but, you know, I think about things like that. I mean, I wouldn't want one more bill to come in when I was trying to refi on a mortgage that was sold to me badly. I mean, it probably would be the straw that broke the camel's back. So that's my concerns about that.
Anyone else?
President, please. Paul, can I speak to that? Director Lucy raises some policy concerns that the district or the board certainly has authority to consider and make a decision on. But I did want to correct one thing. When the bill gets added to the property taxes, the mere fact that it's gone through a foreclosure doesn't make the bill go away. The bill stays. The succeeding property owner will take the property subject to the bill. Eventually, it will get paid unless nobody ever pays property taxes on the property again, and that's highly unlikely.
Even if it becomes bank-owned, the bank pays the property
correct.
Tax.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. What I see here is that there's only 16 line items on this resolution, and that tells me that of all of the properties in the district, all but 16 are good enough neighbors that they maintain the property. And
then, you know, we sent the fire department out again to check, and they did take care of it. So there was a lot of cooperation on this, and I'm pleased that the figure is less than it was last year.
I'm glad to hear that.
I'm glad that the district has worked with the residents, and I'm very pleased that the residents are concerned about their neighborhoods and are cooperating.
The times in the past that we've gotten this list, it's had names and addresses on it. We just have parcel numbers now, or assessment numbers. Can we maybe go back to that in the future so we know exactly what these places are?
We can, but yeah. To my understanding, this is the last year we're going to do this.
Okay.
It's going to be part of the Five Cities Fire Department. But if we bring it back and I'm here, I'll be sure and list... you know, whatever you would like, the name or the address or whatever. This is just as the information is put on an Excel spreadsheet and sent to the county. This is the format that the county wants, so that's how we did it.
Right. The people have been contacted. They know this is going on their property tax.
Show up on their bill.
Yeah.
More than once.
Okay. All right. Great. Any other questions?
No.
Any public comment on this item?
Nina Grabiel, Oceano. You know, I just want to remind the board that this year the fee for weed removal was increased, and that not only was the fee increased, but then there was an administrative fee attached to the actual cost, and that was actually a doubling of the actual cost. And the entire board approved that. And I got to tell you, I watched it on television, and when I saw the board approve the administrative fee, it really felt like it was a penalty because it was so much. It was more than the actual cost of running the papers through the administrative office. And so now I find it kind of interesting that... no offense to you, Mary. I'm just saying it's interesting that you voted for that, and then now you're questioning having this burden placed on the people. And I think we should have maybe discussed that a little bit more at that time when you were is on people's to deal with. And I just think we maybe want to think a little bit ahead as to what we're doing and putting on people's backs. You know what I'm saying? Because I just, you know, I would rather have nobody be on that list, tell you the truth. But I understand that the people are losing their jobs. They are losing their homes. So it's one thing to have to say, you know, you got to pay $300 to have us come in and mow your lawn. But then to say, but it's not only going to cost you $300, it's going to cost you $600. And I don't understand, well, what's the other $300 for? Do you understand what I'm saying? It just seems like it's a penalty, and I don't want to get into that mindset of penalizing people. I'd rather just try to make this as friendly a community as possible and people working together, that kind of thing. Thanks.
Very good points. Thank you. Anyone, did you want to respond?
Just very briefly, I think your point's well taken I think we're obligated to only charge the reasonable costs of administration, are we not?
Yes, sir.
So that is, your point is very well taken.
Okay. Any other public comment on this? Okay, bringing it back to the board. Any final Discussion? Okay, entertain a motion.
I'll move that we adopt OCSD Resolution 2010-15, a resolution of the Board of Directors establishing that we will turn over to the county for collection the weed abatement charges on properties noted, and authorize the president to sign on behalf of the board.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Roll call vote, please.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes. Motion carries 4-0. Takes us to item number 7C, Resolution 2010-16, a resolution to forward the charges for solid waste collection. General Manager Montero.
We're recommending approval of the resolution so the county auditor can collect charges for delinquent solid waste collection charges. The resolution reads Oceano Community Service District Resolution Number 2010-16, a resolution of seizure for the collection of delinquent accounts. And whereas South County Sanitary Service Inc. and their assigned have sent notices as, you know, prescribed by Ordinance 1999 to all property owners whose accounts are in arrear, and we worked with South County. As a matter of fact, if you look on the back of the resolution, it shows her name was Debbie, and she helped us update the figures, and there's only 17 of these. And here, this is the actual dollar amount, so there's no, you know, markup. That's why the figure for the 17, roughly the cost is the same, $400, $200. It's only $4,511.08 because there's been no markup of any kind. So we would ask, recommend approval of the ordinance, and then we will forward this information to the county, and it's just a annual thing that we do. And unless there's any questions or comments, that concludes my report.
Okay, any questions?
No questions. I have some comments.
No comments? Well, let's get a public comment. Okay. Any public comment on this item? Okay, bring it back to board. Director Hill.
There is a significant difference between this item, as the general manager noted, and the previous one for weed abatement. Whereas we have an ongoing contract for solid waste removal with South County Sanitary, in terms of the weed abatement, the district has to go through a significant administrative effort, which involves the fire department going out and checking out all the properties, recording who needs to have weed abatement and so forth. We have to go through a bid process for the weed removal contractor. We have to supervise the contractor. There's a lot of things that are involved in that, and that's why the additional administrative charges apply, whereas on this one, there's basically little to no overhead for the district, which is why there is no additional fee assessed for that.
Okay, any other comments, questions?
I will move approval of Resolution 2010-16 as it applies to parcel number 061113026, and authorize the president to sign the general resolution on behalf of the board.
Okay, a motion. Do I have a second? Okay, I'll second it. All right. So all those in favor say aye.
On a resolution, we might want to have a roll call vote.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're right. Roll call vote, please.
Director Hill?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Is this just for the one line
item? Just for the one line item.
I have to recuse myself.
Okay. Director Lucy?
Yes.
Okay, I'll then move that We approve resolution 2010-16 with respect to the remaining parcel numbers listed on the attachment for collection of delinquent solid waste collection charges. Direct staff to forward the charges to the county auditor for collection and authorize the president to sign on behalf of the board.
Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, roll call vote, please.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes. Okay, this takes us to item number 7D, fire truck aerial apparatus cooperative agreement. General Manager Montanaro, please.
We're recommending approval of this agreement, and it's between the city of Rover Beach and the city of Arroyo Grande and us. And a little background, the city of Arroyo Grande was recently successful in obtaining a grant in the amount of $815,625 for the assistance to firefighters grant protection to purchase a 100-foot aerial platform fire apparatus at a total of $925,607 for the use by the five cities fire authority. Arroyo Grande has made arrangements for financing the difference between the total cost and the grant, which is roughly $150,764, in annual payments of $38,478, or basically they're going to spread that $150,000 out over a five-year period. The Honorable Chief here will entertain any, you know, specific questions. I was just given the overview, and I'm recommending that the board vote yes and we sign the contract. And like I said, it's the cost to us is $5,772 per year.
Chief?
Good evening. It's nice to see you folks again.
Hi, Chief.
I'm here to answer any questions you may have about the agreement and the funding of the new apparatus.
Okay, any questions?
No questions. Comment, perhaps.
Comments?
I'm very pleased that the city of Arroyo Grande has applied for and been successful in this grant, and on behalf of the Five Cities Fire Authority, this is a very significant grant that provides all of the residents of the Five Cities Fire Authority jurisdiction with better service at reduced cost to the local residents. So it's there's other ongoing projects, grants that are being applied for by the Fire Authority, and I think this is a great item. I'm happy to support it.
This is going to be housed in Arroyo Grande?
Yes.
Yeah, good. Anyone else?
Yeah, I also want to applaud you on that. Recently, I was, like Larry, I got out of town for a couple days, and I went to a little park, Art in the Park, and they had the fire trucks there in San Francisco, and I had mentioned that I was from the South County, San Luis Obispo, and they had mentioned that that our area had just been awarded a fire truck through a grant program, and that it was a very competitive process. So the word spread, and I applaud you guys.
Anyone else? Public comment on this item?
Yeah. I'm Larry Bross. I really don't understand or know very much about this, so I'd appreciate it if the board, I assume it has taken place, was there a contract, is there a document, exactly what are our obligations, what are the obligations of the other communities? I think most of the citizens don't know. I know I don't know, so I wonder if you can spend a little time and explain what the new deal is, if there is really a new deal. Okay.
Maybe we can ask the fire chief to come back up and kind of go over that a little bit.
As most of the board probably knows, that this has been a process that has gone on for approximately 6 years. Back in 2004, the city of Grover Beach and the city of Arroyo Grande entered into an administrative services agreement to provide a fire chief and from the city of Arroyo Grande, and then Grover Beach would provide a training captain. That did occur. But then in 2007, when I came to the city of Arroyo Grande, that position was upgraded to a battalion chief. And at that time, Oceano was not participating in that administrative or training agreement. In 2008, the Oceano decided that they wanted to be part of not only the training agreement, but then the equipment sharing agreement, and that occurred. Then we created a reserve regional reserve firefighter program, which Oceano then participated in that. We assisted them in keeping their costs down because of their PERS contract, and it was managed by Chief Heath. So there was, each agency had its own reserve program, but it was managed by Chief Heath under the umbrella of the Five Cities Reserve Firefighter Program. And then 2 years ago, approximately 18 months ago, all the councils and the board agreed to move towards a consolidation process. We, in that time, went through an agreement process, a memorandum of understanding between labor and management, and then a budgetary process. And that culminated on July 9th. July 9th, all three organizations became the Five Cities Fire Authority. So that is a joint powers agreement signed by each of the agencies. That happened between all three of the agencies, a 15-0 vote. So we have been approximately a month into this. We've had one board meeting come with reduced redundancies and efficiencies because of one organ under one roof. We think that it's going to be very more cost efficient and provide a better level of service to the public.
Please go ahead, Larry.
I just would like to know now if how we will determine whether we'll be saving money or not on this. In other words, would it be possible to have some kind of an accounting as to what our district pays in this situation now and what it paid before? And if, in fact, we will be saving money under this agreement, I'm all for consolidation in every area of government. But, you know, it has to be consolidation where, in fact, the public, especially at a time of depression, you know, will benefit.
Director Hill, would you like to comment on the agreement and the... Well, the cost formula?
The agreement and the cost formula was developed on various things, size of the district, property values, a number of things entered into it, number of calls for service. All of the city councils and our board reviewed this several times, culminating finally, as the chief mentioned, on July 9th with the launch of the Five Cities Fire Authority. There is a contract, there is an official document. It lays out the portion of the costs that are assigned to Oceano, the portion of the costs that are assigned to the city of Grover Beach, the portion that's assigned to the city of Arroyo Grande. And as you might imagine, Arroyo Grande being the largest, they share the largest portion of the cost. Grover Beach is in the middle. Oceano has the lowest proportion of the cost. But I think looking back at the quality of service that's gone on here, and this is thanks to the chief and all of the members of the Five Cities Fire Authority who have worked together to put this to put this together in reserve pooling agreements. The level of professionalism that's increased in the area, we get better service today at lower cost or the same cost due to the elimination of the multiple administrations that were going on in the fire service. So I'm very pleased with it. I'm excited about it. This is a great opportunity to work together for all of the jurisdictions to save money for all of our residents. I see that we're getting better service. The chief has done an outstanding job. All of the members of the departments have done an outstanding job. This has been looked at throughout the state as being and even nationally as being a model that other locations might follow to save money, use resources to the greatest extent, and improve service.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We can't.
This is nothing new. Consolidation's been taking on. Mergers have happened forever. And all I'm asking is for an instrument to be developed by the board. A time period where, in fact, you look back and somehow try to figure out. And again, that doesn't mean necessarily we'll be maybe we'll be getting better quality service, and maybe we have to pay a little bit more. But I want to be able to keep control of this to determine, just not forget about it and get lost in the shuffle of three different governmental situations. So we have to beware. We're keeping a rein on this, and I suggest that we develop this instrument to check, to determine where this is going. That's all.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chief. Okay, any other public comment on this item?
My name's Dave Angelo, and I think Jim can speak as a somewhat authority on that, because I believe he monitors the police call, the fire calls on the scanner, such as I do. And Larry, you should hear it now. When there's something going on, there are trucks moving all in the right direction, the service is gone way up, and it's really...
Okay, entertain a motion.
I'd like to make the motion that we approve the agreement with between the cities of Grover, Arroyo Grande, and Oceano Community Services District for the truck aerial apparatus cooperative agreement.
Second.
Okay, motion and second. Roll call, vote, please.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes. Motion carries 4-0. Takes us on to item number 6E, which is a discussion on district investment policies. General Manager Montemiro.
The reason this is on the agenda is because I would like to recommend that we have one signature card or one authorization form, whichever term you prefer. In the past, I've shared with the board that we've recently discovered that there was five CDs, and so now there's three left, because two of them have matured. And the three that are left, one matures April 13th of 11, one matures March 29th of 12, and one matures October 12th of 13. So roughly for another 3.5 years, these investments are subject to early interest penalty if they're cashed in or changed in some form. So I'm not comfortable unless, now even though, our investment policy says that the general manager can move funds for the district and so on and so forth, I enjoy that ability, but with that, I think, comes, you know, responsibility. And I don't think that I'm not comfortable just creating a signature card with just my name on that on these three investments. And I would I'm recommending to the board that we get at least a quorum of the board or three board members to sign this. I have signed the form, and the bank is expecting it tomorrow. I told them I'd put it on the agenda if, and the signature card here asks for Director Angelo, Director Hill, Director Lucy to sign for the board, and I have already signed it for myself. Then in November, you know, whoever is elected to the board, we can add their name, and you know, Director Dahl, if he's still here, we'll gladly add his as well. But I wanted to get this signature card going so that I can follow up with the bank by my name being on the account and see if I can come up with some type of explanation as to what these four CDs, how they were opened, when they were opened. One of them, for example, was opened, and the title is Marks and Ewalt Development. Well, I don't know what Marks and Ewalt Development is, and nor do I know the name on the other three. So I'm recommending that we sign this form, that I go to the bank, get as much information on these CDs, especially I'm concerned if, for example, one of them is got a $20,594.07 present value. Well, it was opened in 01. So, you know, I'd like to know between the opening and now what has happened. Has the principal and interest been combined? Has any principal, has any interest been removed from the principal? These kind of questions I'm concerned about. The economist in me says that I should look into this, and then I'll fully report back to the board what I find. So with that, I would entertain a motion from the board to...
Okay, well, we're not ready to go to a motion right now. So we want to do some discussion first, I think. All right. Okay, any discussion on this from the board? We have some question, probably our questions. Okay, any, George Lucy? George Hill?
I think going without saying, we want to see all accounts that the district has show up on our reports to the board at a periodic basis. These used to come out quarterly. There's been a lapse in that for over a year of having these items and every account that the district has, and to show the public where their money is. This is not our money, it's the public's money. And unfortunately, we've not done a good job of accounting for it in a transparent manner. And I think all of us up here want to see that that is done in a more direct, straightforward, and transparent manner going forward. I know the general manager shares that concern, and I think we want to commit to the public that we will do that going forward.
Yeah. Director Lucy?
Well, I get a little troubled and think that I'm not doing my job when I read that, you know, we just don't know how to read a financial report, and that's why we can't find them. And so, you know, I've gone through the few audits that we've had, and I actually was able to pull up the last quarterly for December 2008. And that's a quarterly report that Cindy Winters was able to provide us. And I had just come on the board then, so it ended at December 31st, 2008. And there's only one CD listed here for $288,940.16 from Rabobank. So am I the only one who doesn't know how to read them? because I'm looking that there's five, and there's been three that have been rolled into other accounts, and so so I was just curious. I went over to the bank, and I said if I had opened up a CD for $4,500 in 91, and looking at the interest rates for the last 10 years, which have gone like this, now they're like this, that in 12 years, the money at $4,500 in 12 years would have doubled. So what my question is that was the CD opened at $4,500, and how the interest, was that pulled off? And also, too, since it is taxpayers' money, I mean, can you profit? It's been put in front of me. I cannot find these other CDs. So, is there other CDs? I mean, are they on papers that, you know, we're just too blind to see?
It's interesting that the board has been accused of not knowing how to read financial statements by someone that's not been trained in accounting, as Mary, I'm sure you have, I have, others of us have, which led us to believe that there was something very strange going on here. This has been, as the board voted a month or so ago, to turn this over to the district attorney. We've mentioned it to the sheriff's office. We've had discussions with the district attorney. We are asking for a full investigation of what's going on here. General Manager Matamoro has been working with the bank to try to figure out what's going on. We are trying to get a handle on it, and we will report further as the thing is a work in progress and it's developing. So we will keep the public informed. Again, this we do realize this is the public's money. We have the responsibility to properly manage and account for it. That has not happened in the past, in my judgment. The board was not appraised of this and many other things, such as IRS fines that were just incidentally rolled over, and overpayments made that the fines were deducted from without bringing it to the board or the general manager's attention. Credit cards that were routinely run delinquent, so that the for example, 1 month we had a gasoline fill up on one of the fire vehicles that cost $30. There was a $29 delinquent fee and a dollar interest charge on that. So we paid $60 for a $30 tank of gas. Those kinds of things have stopped under General Manager Montemurro's administration, and that type of secretive misuse of public funds, I don't know how else to say it, is not going to happen anymore.
Would it be called something else than CDs?
Well, one of them, for example, that I was able to get some information on, I put it in your packet. It shows that it's says it's a 60-month public funds, and it shows that the last time I'm going to get as much information on these as I can, and my biggest concern is, like on the page that shows how much the principal was, how much the interest, because none of the numbers match, okay? So like if you turn to the next page, it also says it's a 60-month, and it says that it matures April 13th of 11. Well, that one is $17,449.20 of principal and $3,213.14 of interest. And it also, like I say, it says available interest. You know, none of the numbers match. So I'd like to know, okay, that's what they were the last time they were rolled over, but what were they when they were opened? You know, what happened between the course of date of inception and today? And as soon as I obtain that information, I assure you I'll share, you know.
Okay. Any other questions? The signature card that you're wanting, is this this, how many signatures is it going to take to move this money?
That isn't why I'm creating the signature card.
Well, I mean, there's no. I mean, if it only takes your signature to move the money, then why is there, even if you add the directors onto the accounts and their name, then that is not, you know, it doesn't add any security to it, and there's no need for the directors to be on the signature card.
I disagree with that type
Okay.
Well, it just makes it a bit, makes it possible for the directors then to move the money without the general manager.
No.
If that's what.
Be a two signature.
Well, that's the question. How many signatures is it going to take?
When I bring the signature card back to the bank, I'm going to request, like I've requested since the first one I took there, when I first got here for the checking account, that it take at least two signatures.
Okay.
Now, for example, when I came, nobody knew that, but the signature card that was at the bank only required one signature to cash a check. As a matter of fact, if as I looked back, I found that there were checks that only one signature was on, and then they were cashed. Whereas how our signature card reads today at the bank,
determination that we should include in whatever motion might come of this, that that the general manager be required to sign, and that the general manager and at least one board member be required to sign for movement of these types of funds.
That would I would agree with that. I think that it shouldn't be just two signatures, but one of them should be the general manager's signature. And with that, also, you should be treating the board all equally and the same. So if you've got five members on the board, there should be five additional signatures on the card and not one or the other. And if it takes time to change that signature card at each election, then that is what needs to be done. That would be my comment.
Gosh, I haven't. It only took 9 months for me to be added.
Yeah. Any other questions, discussion, comments? Okay, public comment on this item.
I'm glad we're talking about the public's money. So while we're talking about it, I want to bring up another item. The way I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, there are three ways to pay bills: by check, credit card, or cash. So I would like to know about what percentage of bills are being paid by check, what percentage of bills are paying by credit card, and what percent is paid by cash. And cash is an interesting item because, you know, it's more difficult to keep track of. So since we're really starting off fresh, I want to discuss cash payments, how it's handled, and how it will be handled in the future. Thank you.
Okay. Any other public comment? Okay, I bring it back.
Carol Henson, Oceano. I have to tell you that Mr. Montemuro, the general manager, is explaining what he is recommending to the board for safeguards to ensure that in the future there is money available and should be reported to the directors that are do anything with these monies that they've just found that no one knew about. And he was trying to ensure that in the future that there would be no way that money could be moved, used, put in accounts, or done anything without any other board member knowing it, someone knowing it other than him being the only, you know, authorized person who knew about these accounts. So that Mr. Dahl wanting to know what this is about, why the signatures are needed, is precisely so that this never occurs again, that there's money that the district has in accounts and time accounts that nobody knows about and there's no record of anywhere. And that's why you can't have, powers. One person has all the power, and it's kind of a secret that we don't tell anybody about because maybe it's couched away over here somewhere so you can go, oh, guess what? I saved the day. But when we've had budget after budget after budget talks and no money, no money, no money, and this money was there all the time and it was never brought to the attention of the general manager or to the board of directors in the budget talks, in the audits, it's amazing. So please, Mr. Dahl, I would encourage you to vote yes on this so that this never occurs again within this district. Thank you.
Okay, any other public comment? Okay. To kind of clarify that, by adding names to a signature card, if there isn't additional signatures that are required, it doesn't really change anything. That's why we needed to know why it was too if it requires two signatures to move it, then things change, and that's why the inquiry went that direction. Okay, so anyway, and I yes.
You know, in reality, what happens is accounts function depending on how you set them up and who sets them up. Like, for example, it wasn't that long ago, and I presented to this board that we should look at the government fund for money because it paid a better rate of interest than some money we had in the LAFE, or what they referred to as the local agency or the state fund, okay? Now, with the rearview mirror, I drive it looking through the windshield. All I'm trying to do here is move the district forward. The many sins and the poor practices that were committed in the past, I don't want to be a part of. So what I'm trying to do here is, if, my recommendation to approve the signature card and I can go to the bank tomorrow or the next day, the same thing. I'm going to instruct them, as these show up, as interest is, to put them on the same statement, not on another statement, not to hide them someplace else, not to say that, we have two board members over here, they should get the information, this one shouldn't. That's not how I do business.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion here? Okay. I just think that, we're done. Then we're not going to keep dragging this on.
My question is, how is cash going to be handled?
Come into the office and talk to the general manager, and he can give you a full explanation.
We discuss it on television so we know what's happening.
Let the general manager.
Go ahead.
In 2 minutes, I'll give Larry a scenario that will put his mind at ease, and if he needs additional information, he's always, along with any other constituent, they're always welcome in my office. What happens today is, if you come to the counter and pay, they give you a receipt. It doesn't matter if it's a check or cash. They give you a receipt. They don't ask you like they did in the past, do you want a receipt? That was one of the things I eliminated. So they asked, do you want a receipt? The constituent left. I called the staff. I go, what's this? Do you want a receipt? Well, we're supposed to ask them. I don't think so. Somebody gives you money, you thank them first, and then you give them a receipt. So we do that at the counter. Then in the past, the deposit slips would show two items, X number of cash, X number of checks. And nobody knew anything else. Now we have a three-ring binder. Every check has a line item that goes across. The account number, how much the check was, how much was paid, and how much the bill was. Okay? If the check, for whatever reason, doesn't match the bill, that a person can't pay the full amount or they're paying more or whatever, then after that report, it shows why the amount was different. The other day, for example, they went to the bank. We have a list that shows the $42,000 in checks, which accounts they went to, the amount. Just come to visit.
Can you also send him a letter telling him what percentage of bills that we pay by check and what percentage we pay by credit card and what percentage we pay by cash?
That was what his question was. I can answer that question now. We pay everything We pay everything by these, that's why we changed the name, cash disbursements. We very seldom pay anything by credit card. The old credit card book is gone. We have two credit cards right now that are in the safe, and if we need to order something, and then the next month it comes up, it pays, there's no penalties, it balances.
Yes, sir. Citizen Larry Bross, speaking in the name of citizens of Oceano, thank you, Mr. Moore.
You're always welcome, sir. We're here to please.
Thank you. Okay. Any further discussion at the board?
No.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
Well, I move that we accept staff's recommendation to add two more signers onto the signature card, making a total of four.
Okay.
Can I, question for just understanding the motion. I would like to see the motion require that at least the general manager be required to sign on these funds, and then any other board member as a counter signature. And I think any of the board members could do that. But I would like to see the motion encompass that certainly the general manager would be a required signature on this.
I thought that was in staff's recommendation, that the GM was in staff recommendation. I'm sorry. Yeah. They stated it's staff recommendation.
Yeah, well.
But if you'd like me to word it out even clearer, I could do that too. I move that a signature card be created from Rabobank with four signatures total, one being a mandatory from the general manager, three being board members.
Okay, well, then the question then becomes which board members. We should treat all board members the same, and it should be all five board members signing on the signature card.
I tend to agree with that.
I withdraw my...
Other funds, whether they be in the so-called government account, whether they be in the LAIF, whether they be with the county or the state, that are time deposits, be first of all accounted to the board in total at least every 3 months. That withdrawal or other direction of those funds be required to come before the board at a regular meeting of the board in public and approved by the board by a majority of the sitting board at the time, that the bank be authorized to the bank and other depositors be informed that moving district funds requires at a minimum the signature of the general manager and at least one board member, that signature cards be appropriately established with the financial institutions that use signature cards, such that the sitting board at the time and the general manager be on those cards.
Sounds fairly complete.
With apologies to our secretary, that's my motion.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Good. Okay. Any other comments before we go to vote?
Okay. Well, that to me is more of a policies and procedures than a quick down and dirty signature card request. So I think that since there's so many points in that motion, that it should be written up into a resolution. A resolution or part of the policies and procedures. Because there's just too many points for it to be a motion. We can make a simple motion that the bank card be established so the banking work can be completed on and that the
tonight, talking off the top of your head, might be missed, and maybe a little bit more thought bringing it back in a resolution at a future time might be helpful. My first impression is that it's fairly complete, and assuming that the record keeper got it all down, it should be adequate. I can tell you if I'm asked to draft the resolution, I'm going to ask her for her notes, and that would be what I would draft the resolution off of.
Okay. And we could go ahead to move forward with this as it is with the motion and then still come back with a...
It certainly would be possible for the general manager to give this some further thought and come back with a overarching review of the investment policy and the district's investment policy and include that in there. That's certainly possible.
Would that work for the board?
Yeah, can we go ahead and get the signature card thing resolved tonight?
Yeah, well, if we pass this, it's resolved tonight, and then they still can come back. We can still come back with a comprehensive investment policy that includes what was included in this motion. And the ones that have matured, what has happened with that money?
You asked me about
the two matured. President, may I ask you to ask the maker of the motion what he thinks about all that?
The two that have matured, the answer to the maturity question is the two that have matured, the one for $4,578.16, which was the interest up to and including on date of maturity, was deposited in the government fund at Rabobank. The one that was for $294,000, $130,163.61 was deposited in the government fund at Rabobank. $164,276.50 was deposited in the Rabobank checking account. That's the total for the two that have matured to date.
Okay.
What we were asking for was that we put the other three.
Yeah, I understand. That question was just on those two. Thank you. And you answered the question. Thank you. Okay. Any other final questions before we go to vote?
What do I do with the signature card at the bank that I was going to deliver tomorrow and, you know, work on moving this forward? That's my question.
Okay. Well, the motion included that, and allowed that to happen.
All right. And then what
the
I'll do is
signatures of all the directors.
While I'm there tomorrow with this, okay, I'll prepare an addition so that the other two directors will be added as well. But let me take this so I can start moving it forward. That's what I'm asking.
Well, what is it going to take to get the rest of the directors' signatures on there?
Well, first of all, it has to be retyped. It won't fit on this one. Second of all, one of the directors isn't here this evening, okay. And I'm trying to update this signature card for tomorrow so that I can move forward. Now, if we don't want to, the board doesn't want to update the signature card, that's okay.
That's not what the board said. The board said update the signature card with all the signatures on it, and that's fine. And I don't care one way or the other whether you proceed with that as it is, and then follow the board's direction after that. After
okay.
The fact.
All right. I'll open the signature card with this and combine the three ASAP, and then I'll add the other two directors so that we'll be in compliance with all five seated directors being on the signature card.
Okay. All right. And that concludes that item. It moves us on to item number 7F. Which is a discussion, district accounting, and past audit process.
I'm going to take a break.
Before we move on to that item, we're going to take a short break.
Okay, coming back from break, we are at item number 7F on the agenda, which is a discussion of district accounting and past audit process.
Item number 7, I put it on the agenda as discussion because last Monday we met with the Finance Committee and the end of the meeting, she collected them and stuff. She's out of town this week. As a matter of fact, if someone's really concerned, I can show them that this was emailed to me today at 11:40 this morning. So right away, I made copies. I sent them out. We can talk about it as far as the overview. I can share with the board that a lot of these suggestions that the auditor found are very important, and I want you to know that some of those have already been changed. Okay, like for example, she speaks about the credit cards and that kind of stuff. We've made massive improvements in that type of procedure in the short time that I've been here. So other things that the auditor brings up in this report that are good for the district and we haven't yet done, it's our intent as soon as we can to implement them as we go forward. So with that, I'll defer to the Finance Committee if they want to share anything specific with the board. Otherwise, we can bring this report back at another board meeting when everyone's had a chance to read it. I was hoping, I had asked the auditor last Monday, I said, could you please get it to me, you know, by Monday so I could get it out to the board, but it came late. I didn't get it till lunch today.
Okay, any discussion from the board?
I'd like to make a couple comments. At the Finance Committee, we went over some of this stuff here, the majority of it, and it's been kind of confusing, and it kind of adds up to what we've been looking for is why we can't find stuff. The information that was given to us is pretty much kind of what we thought. There's some things that were transactions that were cleared by the bank but never came before the board for approval. And there's some things in here regarding credit cards and the uses and not being able to identify where they went, that type of thing. And then she has recommendations on how to improve those items at this point so we don't have this problem down the road. In the meantime, yeah, I suggest reading it over it. It's kind of self-explanatory, and then maybe we can bring it back next week if there's any further discussion needed and any ideas as to improvement.
And I would also add to that, if as some...
I just wanted to make clear, so when we called for this forensic audit, right, we mm-hmm. asked the auditor, the Finance Committee, and I asked the auditor to just look at checks and credit card expenses. Is that correct? No?
No.
Okay.
Those are just some items there that she, after having come and looked at stuff, she had recommendations and suggestions on. But we asked her to take a quarter of the year and look at all kinds of stuff, you know, bank deposits, procedures, like, for example, what comes to the board, what doesn't come to the board. You know, the report is very interesting, as Director Angelo just said, read it, you'll like it. You know, it'll say stuff like there's things that never came to the board, there's credit card stuff that was definitely lunches that were charged to office supplies. There's some very interesting reading.
Right. And as I started to read it, I immediately started thinking, how do you reconcile this? How could you possibly reconcile, you know, the end of the month with not knowing whether it was check or cash or what the source of the money was? So it is very interesting reading. Also, too, is that by just pulling out one quarter in a relatively clean year, 09 was, you know, people were very alert and watching and on to trying to rectify some of the issues we have. But she does say it's impossible to reconcile the way it's set up, and that, you know, out of the statements that she pulled out of 11 months, 50% of them were inaccurate. 50% didn't even come to the board.
Like I said, it's...
6 out of 11, actually, it's more than 50%.
It makes for excellent reading when it says that they tested 438 transactions. Okay?
So,
and they found 134 things that needed improvement. Well, you know,
right.
That's over 30%. I mean,
yeah.
That's not a one or two...
That's not an error.
So...
Right. So let me ask you something. Tell me if this is possible through our system. Say for example, a friend of a staff person had a check, and they couldn't run it through their banking account, right?
Okay.
Could they have walked that check into this district?
You know, that's unless...
You couldn't catch it through an audit.
No, unless someone, you know, fesses up, that kind of stuff you can't find. The only thing I can... tell you is, you know, rest at night, rest assured that that isn't happening now. That's all I can say.
Right. Okay.
But yes, under these, like I say, read it. It makes for interesting reading.
And so when she points out that there were checks that were handwritten and signed by the same person who handwrote them, will we have, like, a story that goes behind that, or...
Well, let's
put it... Or is it just going to be referenced in the report and moved on?
You know,
that was alarming.
That was one of the things that I was alarmed. Like the first week that I was here, I was presented a check and someone had signed it, and then I was asked to get a director's signature. And my response to that was, "What do you mean, get a director's signature? Well, you know, I've created the check. We have to pay this bill. It's a just get another director's signature and we'll send it off." I shared with that person. I says, as long as I'm here, don't ever sign a check again. Create the check, bring the check to me so I can sign it, bring me the documentation as to why I'm signing the check, and then we'll worry about getting the signatures. So that's what's been happening since the first week that I was here, but that isn't what happened. As a matter of fact, one of the auditors even picked up on that, you know, certain individuals should not be signing the checks. That was why, after the auditor made the report to the board,
right.
Even though I had in-house stopped the procedure, okay, as soon as the auditor said it, I go, okay, now here I got backup. I went to the bank, we changed the signature person, and then that took that power away from that person so that they could no longer sign the checks.
Okay, any other questions, discussion?
Oh, I do want to see this brought back on the next agenda for a thorough discussion. Again, this is the public's money that's involved. We owe an accounting. There are some troubling things on here. 438 checks that were issued by the district in the 3 months that were looked at. There were issues with 134 of those, 41, 29 of which were things of that nature, a bunch of credit card irregularities, lack of receipts, local meals for district employees and board members, finance charges for late payment of credit cards. Not a pretty sight.
Director payments.
Okay, anyone else? Okay, any public comment on this item?
I just have one question for the board. Since these many, this, as Director Hill just pointed out, in a just a quarter sampling, these 432 checks written and all the anomalies that were found in that 3 month sampling, I'm just wondering why the board isn't considering possibly going and choosing another 3 month sampling, because it seems to me a lot of stuff that doesn't match up for 3 months, and perhaps that might have just you know, someone might say, well, that was only 3 months. Maybe that was in a transition period, or those were anomalies that don't normally occur. I think that it speaks to that another 3 months should be considered to look at. And I would really ask the board to consider doing an audit on another 3 months. Perhaps some of these questions that about checks that have no support, or they may have support, but the support doesn't actually coincide with dates and times. The large amount of district gas, I noticed, vehicles being gassed up with no identification and dates that wouldn't coincide with work weekdays. And I do understand that Mr. Raphael has now made sure that all the department vehicles are only used during weekdays and for department use. And many safeguards have been put in place to make sure that the money is more readily tracked within the district. However, I think that...
You know, what do we do with checks after July 31st?
Yeah.
Well, you know, she asked, and I thought, well, Raphael, you know, just answer the question, and I just answered it. Well, when I look at this final report on page 3, G as in go, and it says that she observed that several checks were dated July 31st of 08, but they were used to pay credit card stuff for August and September of 08.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, no.
Prepaying.
You know, I don't know, but that's not, you know, Raphael math. You don't issue a check dated July 31st for an expenditure in September. So that concludes my report.
You know what the expenditure was in...
How would you close
August, September?
Like I said, she asked me the question, and I just answered. But I didn't, you know, when I looked at the report today, I go, now I understand
some
what she was asking.
Someone decided to change that accounting system.
I do have a question.
Yes,
has
Director.
Our books been ever been closed out? Do we go year in and start our fiscal year July 1st? Has that occurred?
It's supposed to be.
It hasn't yet, but I'm working on it. Well, look at it this way. This year, I promised a budget in June, and you got it. Okay? Now I'm going to stick my neck out and promise that next year, July 1st, everything's going to balance.
Okay.
Write that down.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to write down that the CDs I know will be in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other public comment? We did that already. All right. Bring it back to the board. Any final comments before we move on?
So we're agreeing.
I would like to see it brought back next meeting.
Yes, already. I think that's already in the
work. Further discussion.
Yeah. Okay, before we move on to the closed session items, is there anything on the rest of the agenda that anybody wants to do first?
Why don't we move on to the rest of the agenda so the public doesn't have to sit here for the closed session items, unless they're particularly interested in that.
I think that's a good idea.
I would ask that we do item 8B as in boy, because there's a gentleman here that I know wants to speak to that item.
I think we'll do all of 8.
Okay.
And then revisit the question after that, because 8A is not going to take any time. Okay, moving on to item number 8A and skipping over item 7G, GA, and GB.
Schedule a meeting thereafter until the action is terminated to determine by four-fifths vote that there is need to continue the action. The recommendation before you is to approve, and we've all seen this before.
Okay, any questions, comments?
I have one question. How long will this continue? We're in 6 years into it. So I'm
here to serve. You tell me. If you don't want it on anymore, I'll scratch it.
I'm wondering if we're going to get any more money out of this, and if this is just
the way it's been explained to me, that right now there's no money.
Period. End of story. So maybe the next agenda we can discuss whether we're going to continue making this action.
Last I heard, there was still some money that could be applied for.
They probably don't have any money, though.
For the earthquake?
Yeah, there's still some funds that...
I thought they were issuing vouchers.
Well...
And then also, too, is how much the cleaning costs us. So it has to cost us.
One thing we might recommend is to have the staff follow up with the county who were kind of administering the earthquake sewer and water repairs for us to see if there is indeed some remaining actions we can take to follow that up. And if so, we can consider that and perhaps continue this item. Otherwise, I tend to agree with Mary. It's getting rather long, and I know there's been quite a bit of good come from it in terms of reimbursements for the majority of the sewer repairs that were made, but going forward, it's the work is basically done and pretty much paid for, and...
And it's costly.
It only needs to be on there as long as there's still money to be... yes.
That's not quite correct.
Okay.
And you're right. It's been 6 years. It's been a very long time. I don't think anybody ever anticipated it would be carried over in the fashion it has. The point of the determination is so that the district can go out and make emergency repairs without having to go through all the formal bidding processes that you would normally have to go through. And so back when General Manager Cooney was here, he made a determination that he wanted to maintain. The discussion fell on deaf ears. We are so far distant from the earthquake now that I think you'd have a very difficult time causally relating something that happened now back mm-hmm. to the earthquake.
Right.
I'm not saying it couldn't happen.
I think your point's well taken.
Okay. What about any funds to come back from the repairs that have already been done? Last I understood, there were still some funds that we could get reimbursed for that.
Well, I'm not fully aware of all the pots of money from which funds have come. And I guess it's conceivable, I'll accept the possibility, that the fact that we had this emergency declaration in place may have facilitated obtaining some of those funds or might facilitate obtaining some future funds. But I don't know that that's a fact. I kind of doubt that it would have any effect on obtaining any money that is already in the pipeline. But your point is well taken. That might be something that would be worth investigating before you just completely drop this from the agenda.
Okay. Then that's what I would suggest happens, is that it gets investigated to see if there's any more funds, money out there that... can or still come in before we drop it, and if it has any effect on those funds if we drop it. Anyone else?
I think it would be harder to justify the potential causation by an earthquake 6 years ago than it would to go through the public contract process. So,
right.
At this point, unless we have some strong advice from the county to the contrary, I don't think I can support this beyond this meeting.
Well, you don't want them to check to see if it'll affect.
I do think they should check to see if there's an effect, but beyond this meeting.
Yeah. Okay. So leave it on until we know for sure that that it doesn't affect, that there's either no more funds available or that there doesn't affect any funds that are available.
Correct.
Yes.
First of all, I think it's been a lot longer than 6 years, because I remember being tired of it 6 years ago. And but it was explained to me anyway, so it'd be worth checking out.
Okay.
And I'd also like to see how much it costs us, this cleaning and constantly sweeping and everything, how much it's costing us.
Okay. Any other public comment on this item?
Okay, bring it back to the board. Entertain a motion. Anybody wants to make one?
What do we do with this thing?
Okay, I'll take the hot potato, and I'll reluctantly move that we continue the declaration of emergency following the San Simeon earthquake, lo those many years ago, for cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines.
Okay, motion, second.
Second.
Okay. A motion, a second. Roll call vote, please.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes. Motion carries 4-0. Okay. Item number 8B, fee letter, OCSD project number 6428.00, APN 062-114-016. General Manager Montemiro, whatever.
The item before you is recommending that we issue a corrected fee letter. And the reason it's before you and we're recommending a corrected fee letter is back in May, when this was done, they had included $6,420 for sewer work. When the project moved forward, our water department realized that we can't, without spending additional funds, provide the sewer work because of the depth of the sewer at this place, at this point. Mm-hmm. The depth is such that you would need shoring on the sides, and it wouldn't be cost effective for our yard to do it. So therefore, when my water people convinced me that we couldn't do it, I says, okay, fine, we'll put it on the agenda and we'll recommend that we issue a new corrected fee letter, and that if the board wants me to bring it back to change another piece, I'll gladly do that. Or if we just want to look at the whole thing and just admit that in May, when they did this estimate, there was errors made. And with that, I'd like to ask Mr. Emmerich to address the board and share his concerns with you.
Thank you, Jeffrey Emmerich with Gearing Taylor and Associates. There's a couple of things going here. One is Community Health Centers has already paid all these fees. So we're looking for a return of the deposit for the installation of the sewer lateral, and that's all we ever understood that to be. It was a deposit for the construction of that. And two, initially we had requested a 1-inch meter for the facility, and subsequently we've determined that a 3/4-inch meter will service it. We've got two bathrooms in it, a few sinks, and that's really all that's in there. So we're asking for a refund of those water connection fees associated with the size of the meter going from 1-inch to 3/4-inch.
Okay. Any questions?
So there's no meter in there yet?
There's no meter. We put in a brand new service for that piece.
So you don't have the line in the pipe in there or nothing, right?
I believe the service has been installed at this time. So we have the service, we have the box, the meter's not set, the connection to the building's not been made.
What size pipe do you have in there?
For the water service, it's a 1-inch service. And
so
you put in
a 1-inch, but you found out you really just need 3/4.
That's correct, and that's based on the plumbing code.
But a 1-inch went in.
A 1-inch pipe goes in, mm-hmm. but the meter size is 3/4-inch. That's what determines the amount of the flow, is the meter.
Anybody else have questions?
So you're requesting a reimbursement of $10,000? Is that correct?
That's just the difference in the district's fees between a 1-inch and a 3/4-inch meter.
Material that you submitted this evening for the 3/4-inch meter, the correct amount would be $950. The front footage charge is shown as 75 feet.
Mm-hmm.
The capacity charge is on. The additional connection fees, which we charge for Lopez, is on. So the total water charges are $16,683. And CHC has previously paid $26,009.
That's correct.
So that's or $26,696. So that's a fairly significant overpayment.
Well, it's not necessarily an overpayment. It's the difference between what was originally an estimated size for the meter and what we found out determined at this point what it needs.
The meter charge would only be $400 difference, if I read it correctly, because our charge for a 1-inch meter is $1,350. And the 3/4-inch meter is $950, so there's about a $400 difference there.
That's correct.
And then the remaining funds were the deposit for the sewer, is that correct?
That's correct. But also the state water fee and the Lopez fees are based on the meter size.
Based on the meter size, okay.
I can add just a little bit of clarity, and what happens is, what's confusing on the fee letter or on the bill, for lack of a better term, it talks about capacity charge state water on the original 4EDU. You know, this has to be the last fee letter that we use that terminology, because it's just confusing. What they were talking about was equivalent dwelling units. Mm-hmm. When we look at the ordinance that was revised January 22nd of 2009, it talks about single family dwelling equivalents, which is much more easier to understand. Okay, and the list shows 5/8 meter single family resident equivalents 1. 3/4-inch meter, single family resident equivalents 2. So the letter that's on your desk prepared by this gentleman today it's extremely accurate. It's actually 1/4-inch meter 2, 1-inch meter 4, 1.5-inch meter 7. And it refers to them as single family dwelling equivalents. So if they use, and I'm no engineer, but if they use the 3/4-inch meter, then the fee should be for 2 units for the state project and 2 for the Lopez project, whereas in the original fee letter, it was 4 and 4.
So if that's all they're going to need to use, that should be...
Corrected fee letter that is in the packet.
Yes.
And the
corrected fee letter that was in the packet, I was recommending with the same meter, just that we removed the $6,420 that was originally put in there for sewer, because we're not able to provide the sewer. We can't dig the ditch without renting some very expensive equipment that has to hold the sides for collapse because it's over 4 feet deep.
Okay, well, has the lateral been installed at this point in time?
No, it hasn't. We're still trying to get a Caltrans permit.
Okay, and who's going to be responsible for installing that lateral?
We are.
Okay. And is that what that connection charge is? It's just a straight dollar-for-dollar charge for the lateral installation?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and the numbers here are not matching with what has been previously paid. 26,696 as opposed to. Oh, okay. So these were not paid yet.
They match. It's just on a different. You have to move the sheet up.
Okay. So the connection fee and the inspection fee.
Those are fixed.
Okay. They're not in this letter from Gearing Taylor.
The letter is just addressing the water connection.
The letter was added today in regard to if they downsize the meter, the expenses should be less.
All right. So this is not going to be, so there's still going to be the fees for the connection fee and the inspection fee?
That's correct.
For the sewer?
Yes.
This is just dealing with water.
Okay. All right.
So I guess the grand total of what we're being asked to do is to reduce the water charges to those equivalent.
These fees, I have been told, have been paid.
There's. In my correction fee letter, I included the May 13th. Like I said, this was done in May, and there's so many errors it should just be scratched. But on the second page, okay, I've got the paid, and it shows they're all listed.
Okay.
So it shows that we received $34,448.59.
Okay.
I have a question.
Director Lucy.
We're using residential, not commercial, to assess this. We're using residential rates.
It's an equivalent rate. Equivalent. That's how it's in the ordinance, is an equivalent.
So you have two restrooms, and there's one toilet in each restroom in your community health clinic?
That's correct.
Right. And one's for men and one's for women? Or
that's correct.
One stall in each one?
One stall in each one. The facility is under 1,000 square feet, so we're talking about pretty small.
And how many people do you plan on serving?
How many serving?
Yes.
We're serving the community. We're also connecting it to an existing CHC facility right next to the market. It's just right next to it.
Right. I'm very familiar with
okay.
it. I'm just asking you how many people you plan on serving there.
I don't know. I know.
I'm counting flushes.
Yeah.
So I'm just sorry. I'm with you on getting it straight. You sold me on that, right? What I'm having a little trouble with is comparing a medical clinic to a single-family residence. If my restroom flushed that many times, we'd have a big problem.
I understand.
So if the comparison is what's throwing me off. Do you understand? I'm sorry.
Okay. What I can tell you is to determine the meter size, we count all the sinks, all the toilets, the whole thing. That gives you fixture units is what they call them. And for instance, a sink is 3.0 fixture units.
Uh-huh.
A toilet's 2.5. You add them up, you look at the water pressure in that area,
uh-huh.
you look at the length of the run from that point.
Right.
Any other questions? The total refund on this thing would be then
$16,433.04.
Yeah, we'll get to
it. That's about it. $16,405.
Well,
they're going to get this back too.
The total water charge.
It's the water plus the charge over here for the sewer. It's $64.20 the lateral.
Oh, okay. $27,000?
That was the fees it paid. So
the total fees was $34,000.
Yeah.
When I prepared for the item on the agenda, 8B, I included purposely because the old letter from May 13th and the deposit showing all the money. So it was brought to my attention today, the piece about stepping down the meter size. I didn't know that. Otherwise, I would have added. The math is good. The gentleman came in, all the numbers matched. I would have had that on my request here to refund $6,420 had I been aware of it before this afternoon.
I don't understand why this wasn't done under a commercial, though.
I don't know.
How do you figure that as a residential, especially because there's going to be bodies coming and going, too?
No, it's the commercial portion of it is determined by fixture units.
Okay.
It comes right out of the plumbing code. There's more fixture units counted for a sink in a commercial application than there is in a residential one. The fees that you're charging are just based on the meter size, and they've based the original fee, for instance, the Lopez fee is $1,000 per dwelling unit. And they're saying that our facility now is the same as two dwelling units.
Which doesn't seem unreasonable for a facility of that size, and the fact that if it was a dwelling, they're going to use the plumbing at all hours. This facility is only going to be open during normal business hours, probably. So it looks reasonable. It looks like the entire amount we're talking about forward.
Yeah, same here. Okay, anyone else before we go to public comment?
You don't mind waiting till April of 2011.
Could just drop one of those found CDs on us. There you go.
Because we got a CD coming up here.
What's the interest rate on that?
Probably not much.
I think it's negative at this point.
Yeah, really.
Okay. All right, is there any public comment on this item? Please come on up.
Rick Searcy, Oceano. What district policy is on determining the meter size is one thing, but I think the board should consider that this is a commercial project, regardless what size it is. And does it have sprinkler systems? And is that taken into account? Is it taken into account that there's also two other commercial properties that are adjacent to it, that this building is, by his submission, are using portions of that over the same landowner? The other only other issue is I think I've never heard it done in this district where we're allowing an owner to go into our sewer system to tie in our laterals. We've always done that. If currently our utility crew is unable to do it themselves, then we should be contracting, the district should be contracting that lateral. We're going to have to oversee that installation anyway. And so the refund of the lateral, if any, after the lateral's installed, then I would say the district, then he could come in and take that discount. Now, I would say I don't have the engineer's numbers or gone out there and count the fixtures or seen the situation, but normally on installations of commercial properties, you want the bigger water lines only because, take again, this is a modular. They can be picked up and they could put a two-story modular there. I mean, you have to look at the full build-out or the full potential. And and like I said.
Go ahead.
I just have a question regarding this very subject that was just brought before the board. General Manager Rafael Montemuro quoted some fees from an ordinance that he said was 20091, and I had discussion with someone a couple weeks ago regarding that ordinance, and it was my understanding that ordinance was never passed and the district was operating from the water ordinances 2006-1.
I believe, is the correct ordinance reference.
Because the 2009 was calling for some changes with regard to the 2006-1, and that was never passed.
I think Ms. Henson is correct. The 2009 ordinance was never adopted by the district, but on the substantive issue of how the charges were calculated, it is not different from the pre-existing 2006 ordinance.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, bring it back to the board for further discussion. I think those are a couple of points that Rick brought up that are well made. We need to talk about those. Do you have there is sprinklers in the building?
No, it's modular.
Okay, I thought there was new laws coming out that everything had to be sprinklered at this point.
January 1st.
Okay.
It's residential on January 1st, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. I'm not certain what.
On January 1st, he said new things coming out. Everything is. Presently, it depends on the size of the
structure. Okay, and this currently is 1,000 square foot.
So it's less than what's required
for control of the district.
I would agree with that. So what would then be done is, since our guys couldn't do it, we would contract out to have those done.
Well, why couldn't they do it?
We don't have the type of equipment that's going to be needed for passive depth.
We don't have the safety required because of the depth.
Okay. Director Lucy, presently, there's rules as to how deep you can dig before you have to shore up the sides of the...
Right.
And where the sewer falls here, it's way below, so we would have to either get the stuff from Baker or have Baker do it from us or whatever to shore up the walls for safety to make sure that someone could go down there.
I could support the water connection charges, even though it's based on residential and not commercial, even though everything says commercial. But I think that it would be more responsible for us to hold the sewer connection charges, particularly with the lateral, until after that part of the project is completed and we see that we don't have any indirects that we're not aware of.
Would you like to comment on the...
That would probably be fine. We've currently... anticipate that Ormonde would be installing the sewer lateral. If you want Baker to do it, that's not a problem for us either. We'd be happy to...
We're not recommending sole sourcing.
No. I've got somebody that we can do. I'm happy to have the district, administer the funds, run it through you, however you want. We're just trying to get it done.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we understand the district's issue around shoring because you're over 5 feet deep and OSHA requires shoring. And if they don't have the equipment, it's difficult.
Right.
Would this be something we'd go out to bid on?
Yes.
Yeah. So it would be, lowest bid, not, one place or the other.
How long will the bid process take?
Three competing bids. If you want to go out with a full RFP, but there are ways to get around that.
If any, maybe none is necessary to assure that it's done properly as if the district was doing it. I would imagine the cost would be fairly nominal to do that.
Yeah, I have no problem with the 6420 being used as a performance bond for the installation of the lateral. We'll take care of it. And once it's done to the district standards, then the bond is released. As simple as that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that...
That's easy.
That would be a heck of a lot less costly than if we did it ourselves.
Plus quicker.
Yeah, and a lot quicker. Okay. Anyone else? Any questions, comments? Okay, ready for a motion?
That being the case, then, that the amount under discussion would be the original requested reimbursement, which relates to the water meter charge for 3/4-inch meter and the associated front footage fees, plus the reduction to 2 EDUs for the capacity charge and connection fees. Grand total to be reimbursed of $10,013.04. So I'll move that refund be provided to the applicant, and that we would retain the lateral installation deposit at this time, such that whatever the district staff works out with the applicant to have that installed, that if the district does it at district expense, that the difference would be paid. If the applicant does it, that we would refund whatever portion is not used in the district overseeing the work.
I'll second that.
Okay. Motion and second. Any final comments? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes. Motion carries 4-0, and that takes us on to item number 8C.
Thank you, Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you. Item number 8C is returned to the board. The last time it was here, the board asked questions about, it's our numbered on the second page. I spoke with them on the phone, and I told them that the board was concerned if there was any major changes or anything to the project versus previous, and he told me no, that if there were any major changes or whatever, he would have to amend the tract 2424. So I asked him to send me, and he faxed it, and I've included it. I put it on the desk. So with his additional information that there's basically no serious or different changes versus of when it was approved originally, I'm recommending, because tomorrow's the last day, that we do renew it, and that it expires August 26th of next year.
Okay, any questions, comments?
And this is a will serve letter, not a fee letter, so the
yes,
fee
sir.
Would be calculated on the basis of whenever the project
whenever.
Actually went
exactly.
forward.
I had a question on, apparently we're just servicing for water only. Is that correct for this will serve letter? For the complex when it's built? We're just selling them water? Is that it?
One second while I look at the original.
Valid, okay. I've never liked this project. Okay, what I'm concerned with on the water portion of it is what. When will the fees be established on how much the water is going to be for them to develop this, for purchasing it?
The original letter that I have in front of me shows that Oceano Community Service District will serve the 7 residential unit with a mini storage development proposed for tract 2424, subject to the following conditions. And curbs, gutters, and this will serve. It
story. Provide water. It should be beneficial for the community here.
Right.
I don't want to give them water at our cost as if they were in the community. We're getting their tax revenues or anything like that. I think they should
They are in
step
the district.
Up and pay more.
They are in the district.
They're annexed infrastructure and everything.
We don't get the tax money.
That's my point. That's just water. I'd like to know what we're going to establish the fees for the water is going to be.
I know we annexed them into the district, but I didn't. Does that,
yeah, but we don't get the tax dollars off those.
So
annexations.
It's already been annexed in?
Yeah.
It just recently got annexed in. When the trailer parks came in, they jumped on.
No, that was done quite a bit earlier. It was done while Ms. Cooney was still here.
Maybe I'm off. Right.
Yeah, but I don't know about the tax, about the property tax.
Well, that's my all. I wanted to know is if they're going to be purchasing water from us. If we're supplying them water, I want to know how much that's going to be.
How much
fees? If we've established a price for it.
Oh, the fees. Yeah, and what the date of you know those fees, you know, according to what date the fees are calculated on. So if fees change. If fees changed or you know over the as they go as they change each year and as maybe some water rate increases come in here there may be connection fee changes as well point in time is the connection fees or these fees looked at as far as what the person pays at the time they originally put asked for their first will serve letter or at no. The time that or what triggers the date of the fees.
That's what I was asking, because this is not a fee letter, this is a will serve letter.
Right.
So it may not be installed for 5 years perhaps due to economic conditions. So whenever they get ready to get an approval for the project, that's when the fees would be established.
At that point they'll have to, you know, like bring in a plan, then it'll be reviewed by the fire department, and at that point then we'll sit down with the water yard and figure out what the fees will be. This is just.
I didn't know if this had already been done or not.
No, it's just the will serve letter. As a matter of fact, it's just renewal of an existing will serve letter. It's going to expire tomorrow.
So, do we have any kind of policy of what determines? Is it when they pay it, the day they pay it, that determines the date that the fees are calculated on?
It's just saying that
the fee letter has a.
Expiration
a clause date. That the fees go up annually for certain portions of the fee.
So it's basically based on the time they pay them, the date they pay.
Historically, we've seen different arrangements there where some people have prepaid fees at the time that they got the fee letter. Some have
that's why I'm asking.
Delayed.
All right. I got it.
Any additional questions, comments? Any public comment on this item? Okay, bring it back to the board. Anything else? Any motions?
You want me to do this one?
I move that we extend track 2424 for one more year, dated 8/25/10, to extend to 8/25/2011.
Second.
Okay. It's 8/25, the deal says 8/26. Does that make a difference?
The old one is expiring on the 26th.
Okay. 8/26.
Okay. Is that acceptable? Second.
Yes.
Okay, so it's 8/26 is that 2011 is the new expiration date. All right, final comments. Okay, roll call vote, please.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Dole?
Yes. Okay, motion carries 4-0. And that concludes item number 8. Is there anything else on here we want to do before we do the closed session? Anybody have anything?
No.
Director Lucy?
No.
Okay.
So we are now going to go to item number 7G, Part A and Part B.
4957B1 and 4, to review and evaluate the performance of a contract public employee, the position being that of district legal counsel. Anticipating a one of the directors disqualifying themselves on one of these items, I suggest we take them in the order presented, but that's up to the board. We can take them in whatever order you want.
I think the order presented would be good, and I will. And I am recusing myself on item number GA, which is the Dean versus Board of Directors litigation.
On what basis is that?
That I have had that one of the people in the suit has been a customer of mine.
I think that's how that works, huh?
All right. The last year.
So.
So is it just Jim and I in there?
I don't know.
I'm good to go, you know.
No, we've had Lori present.
Yes, I've been in the before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Mary, your mic is off. Okay, coming back from closed session.
Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public, with regard to item 7G, a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9A, to meet with the district's legal counsel regarding pending litigation, the matter being Dean versus Board of Directors, Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo County Superior Court, case number CV100169. The board met in closed session, received a report, no action was taken. With regard to the second item, a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1 and 4, to review and evaluate the performance of the contract public.
Obispo County Sanitation District, and at that time, we have our plant chief plant operator who is out right now, and we have hired a interim plant operator who will be there until our regular plant operator returns, and that was basically the extent of that meeting, and the advisory council did not meet. So that concludes my report. Director Hill?
I attended the finance committee. I think that was mostly discussed already. We were presented with the draft of the report that was finalized and brought to the district this afternoon, and we will discuss that further at the next meeting. I also attended the meeting of the Five Cities Fire Authority. There were basically two items of business other than approving the old minutes. The first was establishment of a rotation process for the officers of the board. Currently, Mayor Scholes of Grover Beach is the chairman of the authority, and Councilman Joe Costello from Rio Grande is the vice chair. That was agreed that the chairmanship would rotate annually, such that the vice chair will become the chairperson, the remaining board member would become the vice chair, and so on. Also, the resolution was passed establishing the day and time of the meetings of the Five Cities Fire Authority. We'd invite all members of the public. It's an open meeting. It's held the third Friday of the month at 3 p.m. in the Grover Beach City Council Chambers. So all members of the public are invited to attend. We did, however...
Jim, can you go back? Third Friday of the month?
Third Friday monthly at 3 p.m. And that's at the Grover Beach City Council Chambers. However, that being said, for lack of business, we voted to cancel the next all the meetings, so I have Fridays off. We also received a presentation on the Brown Act workshop from Martin Kazanowitz, who's the legal counsel for the Joint Powers Authority. And that was all that took place at the meeting.
Okay, and Director Lucy?
I'm going to need to attend meetings.
The not zone three? Who's does zone three? No zone three meeting, right?
We didn't meet
every other month.
Okay. That is on the agenda. Okay, Director Angelo?
Nothing. I think it's already been discussed at the Finance Committee. Okay. And I don't have anything to add.
Okay. Any questions on the... on the report?
Who is it that's out at the Sand District?
The new person?
No, the who's...
Oh, it's our chief plant operator, Jeff.
Oh, Jeff.
Yeah. And the interim is also the sanitation plant manager for the CMC.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Any public comment on the reports? Okay, taking us on to item number 10, general manager, item for discussion. A is meter update.
Since we met last, the water yard has met with Ferguson, and they're in the process of putting together a bid for how many meters we can buy with the line item 176 that's created in the new budget to purchase meters. Yesterday, they were in contact with Badger, and Badger has received the same information that Ferguson was given, and we'll be expecting a quote from them as well. And then we're going to get one more, at least. We're going to get Census, who is the spinoff from Rockwell. They used to be Rockwell Meters. And as far as anything else, we have to wait until we get at least three competitive bids before we move the meter project forward. We are doing other things like creating a list as to the oldest meters, viewing some of the ones that we don't have information for. They have...
some time ago that there was a meter in someone's yard that the water yard used to use before that land was sold, and they only used it for landscaping. I'm curious to know if that meter is still in that yard. Is there a way we could...
I don't know
out?
But we can check.
It's the property that is attached to the...
It's the property that borders the water yard?
Yes.
Okay, I'll look into it. I'll make a note of it right now.
Okay, any other questions? Any public comment on the meter update report? Okay, item number 10B, with public update.
Item number 10D is a very pleasurable report. With the help of item 10B, we now have a balanced budget. The last time we spoke, we were $1,481 in the red, because expenses exceeded revenue. Well, you know, saving money, it can't just be at budget time. It's got to be all the time. So I want to thank Director Angelo. In the past has given me some very valuable information. And with the information that she gave me, and with me having a meeting with our new team that's in charge of the water yard, we've realized that a service that was called WIDS Plumbing, and we, you know, get vouchers and checks for that in the past. Well, how it was explained to me originally was that that service provided welding of the baskets at the lift station. Well, upon further investigation, I found out that that is and isn't true. It is true if the baskets are broken in need of repair to be welded, they weld them. But if there's no damage to the baskets, it's only a matter of actually cleaning the basket or inspecting it to make sure that it works okay. So last week, I spoke at great lengths with WIDS Plumbing. First, they weren't very pleased, but when I hung up, it was a very good... they saw the reasoning, and basically they were concerned that, you know, maybe we were firing them and hiring somebody else. And when I explained to them what was really going on, then they were very nice. So what's going to happen now is our new team at the water department, we were paying $138 per visit per week to WIDS Plumbing.
Good job, lady.
And that concludes my update. Well, I was, like I said, it was an exciting one. We stand to save over $5,000 minimum,
yes.
And it helps balance the budget. And that concludes my report, unless anybody has any questions about the baskets.
Any questions, comments from the board on this? Any public comment on this item? Okay, and you didn't have any other, right?
No, sir.
All right, so that completes item number 10. Item number 11 is public comment.
I'd just like to, from the audience, thank Director, our General Manager, Mr. Montemuro, for balancing the budget. I think that's a first. I would like to, just as a public comment, like to get up again regarding the Finance Committee, and I would like, again, the board to think about having some discussion about bringing back the forensic audit and considering taking another 3-month sampling out of that forensic audit. And I would also like to, last week, Mr. Montemuro said that he would find out. It seemed like there was a big hit with Ferguson Enterprise for $800 before there was a changeover in the water yard, and I was wondering what those charges for $800 were. Thank you.
Okay, any other public comment? Okay, if you answer those questions now or send her a letter or something, let her know.
Oh, I can, touch on it briefly. Let's put it this way. The person that made the order or requested the $800 in tools is no longer performing that service, so that won't occur in the future.
I don't understand.
Come to visit.
Okay. Moving on to item number 12, board member items for discussion. Let's start with you over this time, Director Lucy. Okay, bring it back to the board. Item number 13, board members, member items for the next board meeting agenda. Is there anything that hasn't already been requested that anybody wants to request? Okay, hearing none. Move on to number 14, written communications.
The last one that I received, I put on the DS, was the letter from the engineer that came this afternoon. Yeah.
Which was the refund.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the last written communication we received.
All right. Any questions, comments on the written communications? Any public comment on the written communications? Okay, I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Do I need a second on that?
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned.